Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. We've reached the end of the week. It was a fun week, nonetheless. Last night, we had some NFL football. Of course, we'll talk about that. As a matter of fact, why not? Let's start today's show by giving you some audio from last night's game. I refused to talk about last night's game in depth yesterday on the show as far as a preview because it just wasn't good football. Nothing about this matchup told me it was going to be good football. It was much worse than I even had anticipated because the Oakland Raiders last night were awful. In every sense of the word, they were awful. Here's one of the things I cannot figure out about last night's game. The Raiders lose 34-3 and did not commit a turnover. That's almost impossible when you think about that. Now, Nick Mullins looked the part last night for the 49ers. 16 of 22, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. Yeah, he looked the part. He just shredded this Raider defense. And on the flip side, the Raider offense did not give the football up one time, and that's what's amazing to me. Give up 34 points, lose 34-3, and you didn't turn the football over. I mean, that's almost impossible. The numbers for Derek Carr, they weren't terrible. You know, he was 16 of 21 for 71 yards, no TDs, no picks. He was sacked 7 times, lost 32 yards. It's just a bad football team. And I know that the blame and the lust of bringing back John Gruden, it just continues to add up. I mean, Raider fans had this idea that John Gruden was going to be the saving grace this year for the team. That's not the case. It's a 10-year plan in Oakland. That's hard for fans to accept. It's hard for a rabid fan base to accept that. And the Raiders do have a brand nationally. I get it. You view this as unacceptable. It goes against the commitment to excellence. I stand by with what I said last week. Gruden will get this moving in the right direction. You have to give him time to implement his vision. And speaking of his vision, first question when I think about John Gruden's vision is Derek Carr his guy moving forward? Because John Gruden has not been great at developing talent. And I think, you know, no, I don't think, I know Derek Carr is still in a position to where he needs to be groomed. Derek Carr was asked this last night, first off about the loss and if this is where he wants to be.
That was terrible. That's not good. And, you know, I wish I had more to tell you about it, the details of things, but I got to watch it and then I'll have more for you. But very, very frustrating because to go out there the first drive, move the ball, see what they're doing, blitzes, throwing hots, doing all that stuff, and then for stuff to not go that way anymore, that hurts. I love this place, and I'm not going anywhere, so I'm in it for the long haul, and I want to be here, and I want to see the men step up and say, I want to do that too. And just listen to some of our vets talk, man, it encouraged me a lot. I'm not going to lie. I didn't say a word when we came in after the game. I just listened, and we got some of those guys.
Just a bad loss all the way around for the Raiders. It's a bad time to be a Raider fan, but I'll tell you the positive note is you'd rather be 1-7 than 2-6. Now, let's be real here. Again, fans don't want to hear that. I'm not saying you have to root against your team. You cheer for your team. But the glass half full logic is the Raiders may in fact end up with the number one draft pick this year. The only roadblock in their way at this stage in the game has got to be the Giants, and I think the Giants have enough talent offensively, they'll accidentally win one or two from this point on. I think Saquon Barkley gets you a win if you can stay close in a game late. Odell Beckham, he can break one off. The Giants can accidentally win a game. I was talking to a Raider fan last night, and I feel bad because there's just not a lot to watch right now. And the Raiders situation goes beyond what's on the field right now. We don't know where this team is going to play. They don't even have a stadium for next season. They may not be playing in Oakland. It's been said they can't play in Las Vegas. There's a lot of uncertainty for the Raiders, but I'm telling you, the main objective right now is to be competitive in 2020. And I still think that Gruden has this team moving in the right direction long term. When I look at the assets. Now, you got to hit on those assets when you get to the NFL draft. You got to hit on those. But I still feel that Gruden has put this team in the right spot. That was just bad football last night. We know Gruden can coach, right? You know John Gruden can coach football. You know that this man knows the game. Okay, so taper some of that blame off of John Gruden. Reggie McKenzie on the flip side, he's not going to be in Oakland next year. He's not going to be with the Raider organization. I just don't see that happening. Last night, however, the story was Nick Mullins for the San Francisco 49ers. Again, 16 of 22, 262 yards. He was pretty good last night. He managed to spread the love around. George Kittle had four grabs for 108 yards and a score off of four targets. I mean, he was perfect. Pierre Garçon, three catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown on five targets. Mullins was pretty good last night. Post-game, he says, yep, I'm supposed to be here. I'm ready to play football.
I think I'm here for a reason, and it was my opportunity to prove that I could play. I've talked about that a couple times since I've been here, and so a little bit. But the biggest thing is just, you know, attack your job and worry about what matters. And what mattered most tonight was the team and how we played.
Niners 34, Raiders 3, that game last night right here on KOAL. Let's move away from the NFL. We do have a lot of college football to get into today. We have a massive showdown tomorrow. The Alabama Crimson Tide, number one in the country, will take on LSU, number three in the country. Everybody believes that Alabama will go in and trounce LSU. The opening line on this game was 14.5. And the reason why I'm excited for this game tomorrow, to be honest with you, I don't care one way or another who wins this game. But the reason why I'm excited is because we're finally going to get to see Alabama play some heavy competition. I don't have the audio of this, and we will talk about this game, I know, a little bit later on in the show. In fact, next segment, we'll talk college football in general. But Nick Saban said the obvious today, that this will be the biggest test that his team has faced, particularly on defense, and quote, it's not even close. Alabama leads the country in scoring at 54 points per game. They've played just one team this season ranked in the top 60 nationally in total defense, and that was Texas A&M. And Texas A&M, don't forget, put up 23 points on Alabama. Do I believe Alabama is the best team in the country? Yeah, I believe they are. But believing and knowing are two different things. I don't know that they're the best team in the country because we haven't seen them play anyone yet. We'll talk college football next segment on the show. A lot of great matchups. Georgia, Kentucky, Notre Dame, who's number four, will take on Northwestern. Michigan is going to play in a highly important game this weekend as well, an elimination contest. So we got a lot of interesting college football. We'll dive into that next segment. Let's take a look at Major League Baseball. Free agency is officially underway. It doesn't take long. You know, if you're the Boston Red Sox, you celebrate your World Series championship 3 days later. It's free agency. The first domino has fallen. Take Clayton Kershaw's name off of the free agent board. Of course, he was going to be the most sought-after pitcher in this free agency class. Definitely not the most sought-after player, but the most sought-after pitcher. I mean, you have Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, but Kershaw and the Dodgers have agreed on a 3-year extension, and there's no doubt he's the greatest pitcher of his generation. He needs a ring, and he needs a ring in a Dodger uniform, so that's why I like this deal. 30 years old, he's going to get $93 million over the next 3 years, and this contract is loaded with incentives. Kershaw will receive $4 million annually in bonuses based on starts in four $1 million increments, as well as other incentives. So the Dodgers got creative with this contract. The extension replaces the 2 years, $65 million remaining on a 7-year contract that he signed back in 2014. There was going to be a lot of attention built around Kershaw and his free agency. I know one of the rumors, the New York Yankees were going to send him an offer. To me, it seemed like it was going to be LA or Houston. But I'm always big on superstars staying put. I'm always big on that. I think it's good for the game when you have legendary players end their career with a different uniform on. It just doesn't look good. Like, I know that Justin Verlander won a World Series championship with the Astros. He's never going to be remembered as a Houston Astro. I mean, this guy's a Hall of Famer. He's going to Cooperstown. We will remember him as a Detroit Tiger. Tiger fans cried when this guy was traded to the Astros. And I get the logic behind it, but at the same time, I want to see Verlander in a Tiger uniform. I want to see Kershaw in a Dodger uniform. These are two generational pitchers that come around once every blue moon. I'm glad this deal got done. We will talk more Major League Baseball a little bit later on in the show. As I said, free agency is officially underway. And the two big names at the top of everyone's list, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Machado saying so long to the Dodgers, basically in an Instagram post, he's not coming back to L.A. The Phillies are in a position to land both Harper and Machado, and that would be insane if that was to happen. Now, you got to look at teams that have kind of strayed away from the luxury tax over the last couple of seasons. Would Philly dump all that money into two players? Yeah, I think they would. I think you'd be crazy if you didn't. We're talking about two players in their prime. Where could Machado and Harper land outside of Philly? We'll take a look at that and go over free agency again in just a bit on the show. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. Right here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz are going to make their return as they continue the early portion of the season. The Jazz will get rolling at 7 o'clock as they play host to the Memphis Grizzlies. Rudy Gobert so far this year has been dynamic for the Jazz, averaging 18 points and 13 rebounds. You know who's been good for Memphis? Mike Conley. Definitely not living up to the contract, which, come on, it was one of the biggest contracts in NBA history at the time. But he's averaging 19 points, 6 assists per game. Tonight, David Locke, Ron Boone, they'll bring you the play-by-play call. Live coverage will begin at 6:50. Tip-off is set for 7. Full of action tonight in the NBA. We get the Clippers and the Magic in the 5 o'clock hour. The Rockets will travel to meet the Nets. 6 p.m. tonight, the Washington Wizards will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. OKC 3-4. Got off to a slow start, starting to pick it up just a bit. Washington on the flip side, that's not the case. John Wall's played pretty good this season, averaging 21-7 a game, but the Wizards just 1-6. 6 p.m. start time tonight for the Bulls and the Pacers. The Mavericks will take on the New York Knicks tonight. Also in this 8 o'clock hour, we get the Raptors at the Suns. Nightcap game tonight. Timberwolves at the Warriors. Jimmy Butler, that's been a story in its own, leading the way for Minnesota this year, averaging 23-5-3. But it's been Steph Curry's show. The two best players in the NBA so far this year. You can remove LeBron from that list so far. And I know it's early. We're talking the first 10 games of the year. But Steph Curry has been incredible, and so has Anthony Davis. That's a quick look around the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll give you the local sports recap. And again, coming up, we're going to talk a lot of college football. Some marquee matchups this weekend. Plus, the Utah Utes have an opportunity to inch one step closer to basically clinching the Pac-12 South. Here's the crazy thing about the Pac-12 and college football. At the beginning of the season, it was logical to say the only team that had a chance to crash the college football playoffs and get in the Final Four from the Pac-12 was Washington. That was logical, right? There's only two Pac-12 teams ranked right now. Washington State at number 8, Utah at number 16. Neither of these two teams were ranked at the beginning of the season. Washington State, they seem to be the most logical explanation for the Pac-12 if they're going to get someone in the college football playoff. We'll talk about that as well. It's all coming up on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And today, the first and second rounds of the Scenic West Athletic Conference Championship Volleyball Tournament will take place in Twin Falls, Idaho. Now, the USU Eastern women's squad will enter the tournament as the number 2 seed, meaning they get a bye in the opening round, and they will take on the winner of Snow College or Salt Lake Community College at 4 p.m. this afternoon. A win there for the Lady Eagles means they will advance to the championship game, which will take place tomorrow at 1 p.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will bring you updates regarding the Lady Eagles as, again, they try to march towards a conference championship in Twin Falls today. Now, we stick with USU Eastern, but we move over to basketball. And today, both the men and women will open up the 2018-2019 season as they travel on the road to Ephraim Snow College for 2 games in 2 days. Both teams will follow the same schedule. Today, the squads will go toe-to-toe with Eastern Wyoming Community College, and tomorrow, Northwest College. It will be doubleheader action, and the women will begin at 1 p.m. The men will follow at 3:30. Tomorrow, the women will be the first to take the court at 11. The men will follow at 1 p.m. Again, this is the season opener for both the USU Eastern men and women basketball programs. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll catch up with both coaches in the coming days to recap the opening week and set the stage for the home openers, which will be next Friday and Saturday, again against Western Wyoming. That'll be right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We move over to the national sports scene, and tomorrow on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the Utah Utes will return to the football field as they take on Herman Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils. The Utes are inching closer to clinching a Pac-12 South championship, and they can take a giant step towards that goal with a victory tomorrow. Live coverage will begin at 1 p.m. Kickoff will follow at 2. And again, that'll be on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Bill Riley and Scott Mitchell will bring you the play-by-play call. We move back over to the local sports front. We take a look at high school football, where the 3A state championship tournament will continue this weekend at Weber State with the Final Four. Right now, it's Morgan and North St. Pete. That'll be the 11 o'clock game tomorrow. And then at 1:30, Summit Academy will take on Juan Diego. Morgan remains as the only remaining seed from the 3A North, which is the same division Carbon and Emory share. The two winners will advance to the state championship game next Saturday. Again, that'll be at Weber State. Kickoff for that game is set for 4 p.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll go over the results on Monday from the semifinals of the high school football season. Sticking with high school, today the swim season will begin for both Carbon and Emory, as the two will travel to different parts of the state, but it is the first event of the high school winter sports season. Now, the Emory swim squad will travel on the road to North St. Pete, while the Dinos will travel to the Delta Invitational. We will bring you the results as soon as these become available. Do not forget, you can get the complete winter sports schedule at CastleCountryRadio.com for both Carbon and Emory. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... Say it again. Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back live on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM from the Auto Farm Studios. It's Friday night. We got some major college football coming up tomorrow. Of course, do not forget the Utah Utes will have an opportunity to take one step closer to punching their ticket to the Pac-12 championship contest. They'll play Arizona State tomorrow right here on KOAL. Live coverage will begin at 1 p.m. Kickoff is set for 2. Bill Riley and Scott Mitchell will bring you the play-by-play call in that contest. Let's talk about some of the other massive matchups that we have this weekend. And to do that, we're going to bring in a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports, and also Dolphins Wire at USA Today. Antoine, it's a pleasure as always to get you back on. Thank you for some more college football talk.
Yeah, good to be with you, Jordan.
We'll start by talking about the college football rankings. I was a little disturbed. I may have went on a rant earlier on this week. Number 1 through 4, Bama, Clemson, LSU, Notre Dame. The first two out would be Michigan and Georgia. Antoine, I believe it's a travesty that LSU was number 3. I think it's a slap in the face to Notre Dame and a slap in the face to any independent school that's 8-0 with the schedule that the Irish have had up to this point to be number 4. I do believe it'll play itself out, but it makes no sense to me that Notre Dame beats Michigan. Michigan is number 5. LSU beats Georgia. Georgia's number 6, and LSU is ranked higher than Notre Dame. I don't understand the logic. Can you help me out with this one?
No, I can't. And what it is to me, this is why I liked the BCS to begin with. It just kind of evolved a playoff around it, because when you have a committee of people choosing these teams who are going to be 1 through 25 or whatever the case may be, it's bias. Like, they don't want to say it, but it's clear bias. You have people in there that clearly think the SEC is just the best conference in America, and if you have an LSU and Alabama up there in the rankings with one loss or undefeated, they're going to be ranked higher than some of the other teams, than a Notre Dame that's undefeated, than a Michigan team that has one loss. So, yeah, I think it's clear bias. Obviously, as we talked about off air, I think it's going to work itself out. But if it's a situation where LSU were to beat Alabama maybe by a field goal or so in a close game, then you create a little bit of controversy, because then what do you do with Alabama? And then what happens to them if they went out? We kind of saw what that happened looked like last year, where they didn't win, they didn't get to the SEC championship, they didn't win the SEC, but yet they still got in the playoffs and ended up winning the national title.
And I think that could be the case again this year if LSU does in fact get a win on Saturday. Now, I don't know if they will, and I've said this multiple times. I can understand someone telling me that Alabama is the best team in the country because it appears that way. But at the same time, the College Football Playoff Committee wants to put an emphasis on body of work. Give me a break. That's a bunch of hogwash, and you know it. It's all based off of the eye test, because Alabama's body of work has been crap up to this point. Now, with that being said, if LSU gets a win, the committee thinks so highly of Alabama that there's a great chance they could get into the College Football Playoff for the second consecutive year without getting to the conference title, in which, if that happens, look, Antoine, I'm sitting here saying get rid of conference championship games. I know a lot has to happen for us to get to that point, but that's kind of where I'm sitting at right now.
Yeah, I think then it's no value on it. I think having the conference championship is supposed to have value on it. I think that winner, especially in the SEC, that winner to me should be automatic to get into the championship as far as the playoffs. This is why I kind of want an 18 playoff, for the simple fact that if you have those five spots from the Power Five conferences, you get in. If you win your conference, just get those teams in, and then you can have three at-large spots for other teams, whether it be a team like UCF from the American, or two or three at-large, like a Notre Dame. You can have Notre Dame as an independent and have another team from other teams from big conferences. I think like that's the way to go, as far as I think that's the fair way to do it, as opposed to just, you're not valuing the conference championships at that point, because you let Alabama in and they didn't even win their conference championship. I mean, not saying they wasn't one of the top four teams, but the fact of the matter is they didn't get the job done. They didn't even play for the conference championship last year. Auburn did, and I don't think it's necessarily fair to a team like an Ohio State who won the Big Ten last year, who I think the Big Ten was a very good had a very good conference and a very deep conference last year.
Well, let's talk about the SEC's marquee matchup this week, Alabama-LSU. Alabama opened up as 14.5-point favorites in this contest. This is by far the most intriguing game, I'm going to say, of the weekend. And I think it's intriguing from a perspective of we just don't know how good Alabama is yet. Again, we can sit here and say, yeah, they look the part. And I agree, they do look the part. On the flip side, LSU is a very good football team. And really, again, you don't have to be a guru to find a pathway to victory for LSU in football. It's simple. If Joe Burrow doesn't turn the football over, this team's undefeated. It's that simple. I mean, the one loss this year, I believe he had three interceptions. Outside of that, he's been nearly flawless. And I'm talking about his mid-range throws and using guys like Nick Brossette out of the backfield. When Burrow does that, LSU is tough to beat.
Yeah, and they run the football. LSU's the same team they've always been, except the fact that now they want to get just efficient quarterback play. It doesn't have to be you don't have to be Tua, Alabama. You don't have to be one of the top elite quarterbacks, Will Greer, anybody, Justin Herbert, anybody of that nature, as far as the quarterback position at LSU. They play great defense. They like to run the ball over set, Clyde Edwards as well, and also they just take care of the football. If they can do that and just get yards and points whenever they can offensively, I think they definitely could have a chance in this football game. But obviously, if you turn the ball over, like you said, what they did against Florida, who also has an elite defense, then you're going to be in trouble. So this week, you're going to face another elite defense in Alabama, and that's the key. That's as simple as it gets. Just don't turn the ball over. If you're able to run the football, just keep the ball out of Alabama's offensive hand, out of their hands, and you have a definitely chance to win, especially playing in Death Valley.
Again, we're being joined right now by Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports as we talk about a big week in college football. Let's stick with the SEC, but we'll move over to the East. Basically, the race in the SEC East comes down to this game, Georgia-Kentucky. Georgia's got to go on the road to take on the Wildcats. It is an elimination game in the playoffs as well. A two-loss Georgia team would most certainly be out of the playoff picture. Kentucky would then have a clear path to the SEC East Championship. Nobody saw that coming at the beginning of the season. Kentucky's needed some last-second heroics just a week ago to get past Mizzou to set up this showdown. Kentucky finds ways to win football games. I think Georgia gets a win here, Antoine, but at the same time, Kentucky's a fun team to watch. I've been entertained by him, to say the least.
And their defense is really good. They haven't. His a stat for you that a lot of people don't know about Kentucky. Outside of their A&M win, they have not let up a team has, and also Central Michigan, I believe, has scored 20 points against them as well. No team has scored over 20 points against them this year. Even the A&M loss in overtime, A&M only scored 20. So that shows you a testament of how good their defense is. Benny Snell has been absolutely wonderful. I think the SEC Player of the Year, at least so far. No matter what happens, I think from this on out, unless there's an injury occurred to him, the way it looks right now, looking at Kentucky's schedule, I think they're going to finish 10-2, unless they lose to Tennessee or Louisville, and I can't see that happening whatsoever. But yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I think they're playing at home in Kroger Field. I can't believe I'm calling it that, but yeah, they're playing at home in that field. I think they have a opportunity to pull up the upset. But I'm going to go with Georgia in a close game. I think just the talent and the depth that they have on that roster will probably be a little bit too much, especially in the fourth quarter.
I agree with you, but nonetheless, Kentucky's in a perfect spot, number 9 in the initial college football playoff rankings. I think it's a little high. I'm a little bit shocked to see that they're ranked higher than Ohio State, a little bit surprised to see that they're ranked higher even than Central Florida. But at the same time, if they get a win against Georgia, a shot at the playoffs is a very real deal for Kentucky if they get a win on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the cards. Obviously, you went out, you beat Georgia, you beat Tennessee, which is their last SEC game of the year. You win that, then you're in the SEC Championship. As long as you take care of business against Middle Tennessee State and Louisville, you have a shot to play in that playoff. I'm not saying I believe they're going to beat Alabama or LSU, but they will at least have the opportunity in Atlanta to do so. If they win that game, then there's no reason to believe that they won't be in the college football playoff.
Let's move on. Based on what we see from the initial playoff rankings from this point on, every week is an elimination game for Notre Dame. They didn't get the love. They're number 4 in the playoff rankings. You and I just had this conversation. It doesn't matter if the Irish don't win. A lot of people are actually picking Notre Dame to fall on the road to Northwestern tomorrow. 5:15 start time. This game is on ESPN. I don't see this happening. When I take a look at the game and I look at X's and O's and numbers, Clayton Thorson, the quarterback for Northwestern, he's thrown 10 interceptions to 10 touchdowns this season. The reason that's a problem, Notre Dame has a pretty elite secondary and the defense in the middle has been fantastic throughout the entire season. I don't see Notre Dame slipping up on Saturday, despite the fact that this one's on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. I clearly think that Northwestern is one of those teams not a lot of people know about, but actually they're in the midst in the Big Ten in that division. So they have a chance to win that division there. I think some of the players you definitely have to watch out for if you know the name is Jeremy Larkin, who is their leading rusher right now, who's averaging almost 5 yards per carry and has 5 touchdowns. Also, Flynn Nagel, one of the top receivers, nearly has 60 receptions on the year. I think if you're the Irish, those are the two guys you have to keep an eye on. I trust Notre Dame. I think their defense is good enough to go in the Northwestern. It's not too much of a hostile territory, even though when Notre Dame comes to town, everybody gets excited. They're kind of like a rock band, no matter what their record is. Everybody gets perked up to play them. So it's because of the name and the elite status. But I think they're good enough to go out and mature enough to beat a Northwestern team on the road.
Another elimination game, number 13, Penn State will travel on the road to Michigan, 1:45 start time in this contest. Look, Penn State, they have dwindling Big Ten East hopes. They had to really work to get past Iowa. Now they got to find a way to top what's been a really rejuvenated Michigan squad. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about Jim Harbaugh not being back next season following a loss to Notre Dame to open up the season. Since then, the Wolverines have been very, very good. Shea Patterson has found that big play capability. A lot of the reason why I thought that he would be the number one quarterback taken in the upcoming NFL draft. I'm starting to see that type of Shea Patterson, Antoine.
Yeah, definitely. He's been elite. He's been great since that first loss of the season. I also feel like they're getting contributed. Their defense has been top solid, among the best in college football, and they're able to run the football as well. So you're able to do that. You're not turning the football over. Patterson's not, and they're running the football. They're doing exactly what Michigan football is. just having solid quarterback play and running the football. And in Penn State, yeah, like you said, they barely squeaked out a win against the Iowa team. That I don't think anybody's convinced they're among one of the best teams in college football. Even though I think they're probably going to finish 10-2, but it's just simply a product of their weak schedule. But having said that, I like Michigan. I'm going to trust they're at home. I feel like they're the better team. They're playing better right now than Penn State, and I think they're going to get the victory there in Ann Arbor.
Elsewhere, we have West Virginia going on the road to take on Texas. Again, I'm going to go ahead and use this as an elimination contest, I guess, for West Virginia. Texas, I know, broke a lot of hearts with their setback to Oklahoma State. They're still number 17 in the college football playoff, but it's a long shot at best. West Virginia with one loss, and the reason I bring them up, Antoine, is because there's a grip of teams with one loss. I mean, you go all the way from 5 to 10. All of those teams have one loss. If West Virginia continues to win by process of elimination, they're going to be in the race as we get down to the final couple weeks. This is one of the teams I don't count out just yet.
No, they still got to play Oklahoma the last weekend of the season on Black Friday. So they went, they beat Texas, they beat Oklahoma, they beat Oklahoma State on the road. I mean, they have a shot to get there. I'm not saying they will, but there's a lot of teams. You have to look at the rankings right now. There are a lot of teams from the same conference that are going to play each other. In particular, this weekend, you have Georgia and Kentucky. Obviously, we talked about Alabama, LSU. You have Florida up there. You're curious to see if they're going to win out. I assume if West Virginia were to win out, they would probably pass Florida in those rankings. So, yeah, you have a lot of teams that are kind of bunched up together. Obviously, Michigan and Ohio State are going to play each other. So, yeah, it's going to be an opportunity for them to move up those rankings, assuming that they went out. Obviously, they have to first take care of business on the road against Texas, a team that ended up losing a thrilling game against Oklahoma State last weekend, 38-35. So, yeah, I expect there to be a ton of offense. Not a lot of defense there on the board, especially on the West Virginia side. Will Greer has had a terrific season once again. It's just going to be about – it might be one of those situations where whoever has the ball last ends up winning this game. And I'm going to go with Texas just simply because they're at home, but it wouldn't surprise me if West Virginia would have pulled this out on the road.
Antoine, we'll end with this. Pac-12 football, we get the Utah Utes tomorrow taking on Arizona State. Utah now has a sheer clear path to getting to the Pac-12 championship for the first time since joining the Pac-12 close to 10 years ago. Washington State would be the team on the north. We've talked about how the Pac-12 would be on the outside looking into the college football playoff if it wasn't Washington or Stanford or maybe even Oregon. We never talked about Washington State. Top 10 right now, number 8 in the country, and they're 7-1. And really in a decent spot right now because, again, you just use the process of elimination of teams in front of them. Washington State is a team you have to pay attention to in this race down the final four games.
Yeah, they're just a team that's just been under the radar. Nobody's really talking about Washington State whatsoever, and they have a terrific quarterback who's playing really well. Really well, and Gardner Minshew II, who's throwing 26 touchdowns this year, who transferred from East Carolina. Who I don't know how he got out of there, but that's another story there. But he's been terrific under the Mike Leach air raid system, and Washington State's just playing terrific football right now. They have a 3 wide receiving core who is really 4 to be honest with you. It's just been dangerous, and they're a tough team to stop offensively. And I look at what the Cougars are able to do offensively, and you look at the rest of their schedule, it really sets up that I think they may go 10-1 up until that Washington game on Black Friday on the 23rd, and that's probably going to determine who's going to be in that Pac-12 championship.
Antoine Staley, always kind enough to take out the time to join us each week to talk college football. Before I let you go, Antoine, I'll let the listeners know where they can find you online to check out more of your work.
You find me at Athlon Sports. Also find me at Twitter at Antoine Saylor.
Antoine, it's always a pleasure. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Itch. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's a Friday edition of the show live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, and we are live from the Auto Forum Studios. It's talk Major League Baseball. Free agency is off and rolling. And the first name to fly off the board is Clayton Kershaw. I'm so happy to see this. Really, I am. I mean, if you listen to the show enough, you know I'm a Dodger fan. But on top of that, I'm a fan of legends staying home. But that's good for the sport. It's good for everyone involved. When legends stay home, it's all in all good for everyone involved. I mean, Clayton Kershaw has a very decorated career. I know what the old saying is. People want to knock him for his postseason performances. Sure, why not? He's an easy target in that regard. I think there's more to it than just Kershaw not performing in the postseason. Some of it is his fault. Don't get me wrong, but I think there's more to it than just saying this guy can't pitch in the postseason. But when you take a look at what he's accomplished, he's done everything that a pitcher could possibly accomplish for one squad except win a World Series championship. And while I think the Dodgers are going to look different next season, to me, they still are the odds-on favorite coming out of the National League. I mean, a lot of the familiar faces will be back next year, including Corey Seager, who suffered an injury that led the Manny Machado deal. The Dodgers needed a shortstop. They had to wait all year long to get, all year up to the trade deadline to get Manny Machado, but they finally got him. So seeing Clayton Kershaw stay put, it's good news. I think it's great for baseball. There are some stars that are in their prime that will not be staying put. And right off the top, it's Bryce Harper. This guy's not staying put in Washington. I just don't see it. A couple of days ago, Scott Boras, his agent, was trolling. I think people took a lot into this. He was on the Yes Network, and he was asked where Bryce Harper is going to go, and he said, it's already completed, it's a done deal, but Bryce has told me he wanted to tell you personally. That's what he told the hosts. It's not true. Bryce Harper does not know where he's going yet because the deal could not be completed and done at the time of that interview unless he's staying put in Washington. And he's not going to stay put in Washington. If that was the case, why not reveal it? Bryce Harper today did sign on as the cover athlete for the PlayStation game The Show. On the cover, he is not wearing a uniform. He's in street clothes. And he said, follow me to find out which uniform I'm going to be wearing on the cover. He's not staying put in Washington. That ship has sailed. Washington should have moved on and traded Bryce Harper last season and got something for him because they are going to lose a kid who was a prodigy at the age of 16 years old. MVP back in 2015, Rookie of the Year 2012, Home Run Derby champ this year, faced the franchise. They're going to lose him for nothing. And going back to what I said again about Clayton Kershaw, this isn't good for baseball. But Bryce Harper is going to end up in one of three spots. And I'm willing to guarantee it's one of these three teams. The Cubs, the Phillies, or the Dodgers. I'm writing Washington off. I could be completely wrong here. I don't think so. He's not going to the Yankees. He's going to stay put in the National League. Again, I'll give you those three teams. Cubs, Phillies, Dodgers. It'll be one of those three teams. And his contract will fetch something around the $420 million mark for 10 to 14 years. That's what's going to happen. Best hitter in baseball in 2015. 2017 was his only other top 10 finish in WRC, which is a major analytical stat in baseball. As absurd as it sounds, Bryce Harper probably could have accomplished a lot more in his seventh season in Washington. When you take a look back, 34th in wins above replacement. He faced three major injuries at different points in his career, but mostly quieted health concerns by playing in 147 games over the last three out of four seasons. He's fine. You know, we had the debate there for a while, Mike Trout or Bryce Harper. No, that's a no-brainer. It's Mike Trout. Mike Trout's not hitting free agency. Bryce Harper is. Current contract record goes to Giancarlo Stanton. Signed a 13-year, $325 million extension with the Marlins 4 years ago. Harper is easily going to shatter that. Cubs, Phillies, Dodgers. He's going to end up at one of those teams. The Nationals, they're going to make a play to keep him. But more teams can really afford Bryce Harper. Here's the thing you got to remember. In Major League Baseball, there's a thing called the luxury tax. It's not a hard cap. Okay, in the NFL, you cannot break the salary cap. That's why there's so much parity in the NFL. That's not the case in Major League Baseball. It's not the case in the NBA. You can find ways around it and break the cap and move into the luxury tax. Now, there's penalties for that, but if teams have a deep pocket, they don't care. Dodgers, Cubs, Phillies. I guess the Yankees could absolutely afford him. I don't think that's where he's going. The Giants, Cardinals, it's another team that could afford him. The Braves would be a long shot, but they have the means to sign him. And I'll tell you, if you're a fan of baseball and you don't have a favorite team, you should want to see Bryce Harper on the Atlanta Braves, because already that's one of the most exciting teams in baseball. I mean, we got to see it this last year. I know their playoff stint only lasted four games. Acuña, Ozzie Albies, they got Camargo at third. I mean, this is a fun, energetic team. The Braves have the means to do it, and they actually have an Eden right field. If he was to go to the Dodgers, he's not playing right field. He's going to end up playing left field is where he's going to play. The Phillies, though, they're the team to watch this offseason, and we'll move on to the next most sought-after free agent, and I believe he will go to Philly, and that's Manny Machado. Machado is 102 days older than Bryce Harper, and outside of L.A., all fan bases should want him. Dodger fans had a belly full. I just don't think it worked in L.A. I don't believe there was camaraderie. I don't believe that Machado, in his heart of hearts, wanted to go to L.A. And it looked at times that he was methodical. He was just going through the motions. Now, one of the biggest knocks on Machado throughout his entire career was his hustle. Okay, but he wants to play shortstop. And at that spot, it was a little mixed this year. I mean, he's a grand slam third baseman, but he wants to play shortstop. He has a cannon. He's built to play third base. So if Machado wants to force the issue and say, I will only play shortstop, I think that narrows down the amount of teams that would sign him. The Dodgers would probably still be in play, but I think he kind of said sayonara to L.A. with an Instagram post just the other night. So here you go. Teams that I believe could sign Manny Machado. Top of that list, Philadelphia. I'm going to throw the Yankees on that list. I'll throw the Cubs. And I'll throw the Cardinals on that list. I'm taking the Dodgers out. I do believe he will surpass the $325 million mark in the contract, which, again, that was the record that was set by Giancarlo Stanton. But if I have to make a prediction right now, I'm going to say Machado goes to Philly. I think they've got to be the odds-on favorite to sign him. But again, Machado will be the second most sought-after free agent. Number three, Patrick Corbin. No player over the course of the last decade has done more to increase his value than what Corbin did this offseason. Dominated for the Diamondbacks this year. I know Max Scherzer was terrific. Cy Young, I'm not going to argue that. But midway through the season, I thought Patrick Corbin was the Cy Young. And had the Diamondbacks been a little bit better and gotten to the postseason, you could have been a strong case for that. I mean, Scherzer dominated. Corbin was great. His team just didn't make the postseason. Had a breakout year in 2013. Then he had Tommy John surgery. And today's scouts, I think they prefer to see a player, especially around the age of 29. If you've had Tommy John surgery before, it's not a death sentence anymore. He did have some post-surgery problems, I guess you could say. But boy, this last year, he was amazing. $100 million guy, hands down. And I think there are a couple of teams that will be fighting for his services. The Astros could absolutely use him. Philly, they're going to spend a lot of money. Philly is going to spend a lot of money, and you know they're going to make a play for both Harper and Machado. If Harper doesn't land in Philadelphia, they're going to make a strong play for Patrick Corbin. But I can see the Yankees really spending a lot of money to bring him in. And really, one of the things that will help Patrick Corbin is the contract that Yu Darvish signed last year. Well, he's going to break that. He's by far past a $100 million mark. By far past $100 million. Darvish set that market for him. Now, a guy that's also a free agent that I don't think is going to get Yu Darvish money is Dallas Keuchel. I think it's probably in Keuchel's best bet to come to the National League. I think he's done in Houston. Cy Young Award winner in 2015, helped the Astros to a World Series just two seasons ago. Statistically, his ground ball rate was up to 66% in 2017. It was the best in baseball, dropped all the way to 53% this year. There's some problems with Dallas Keuchel. Age is undefeated, obviously. This guy's 31 years old. He does have a lot of mileage on him. I think he comes into the National League. I think you're going to see a team that is set to take that next step. Maybe Atlanta. Maybe Atlanta might not be a bad spot for him at all. But I see him coming to the National League. And if I had to peg number five on my free agent list, I'll go Craig Kimbrell just because I want to talk about the World Series champs. And we can't ignore what that bullpen did, especially throughout the postseason. Kimbrell, he's going to get paid. And if I had to peg a list of teams, I would say the Cardinals, Angels, and Cubs. He's not going back to Boston. I think the Red Sox got what they needed from him. Mutual split would be fine. He's probably going to get Wade Davis money. Thank you, Colorado, for that one. Aroldis Chapman got $86 million. Kimbrell signed an extension with the Braves in 2014, reached free agency, more than a year older than Chapman. He's not going to get that. He's also older than Kenley Jansen. I guess it's possible for him to return to Boston. I just don't see that happening. That's my list of Major League free agency. I'm running out of time, unfortunately, on this list. My top five free agents: Harper, Machado, Corbin. Of course, I had to throw Kimbrell in there just because I wanted to talk about the World Series champs in some regard, and also Dallas Keuchel. We'll break for just a moment, come back, put the final touches on this edition of the show right after this.